right after Mike does the business.
Do the and thing.
And
welcome to the podcast They Call Comes Naturally. As always, this podcast is brought to you completely free.
Comes.
So
naturally, you say that.
So gross. If you want to show any type of support whatsoever, we ask you to do a couple things. Leave him hanging. He's got his hands up for a high five. Just give him the high five so he doesn't act crazy later. Yep, that works.
Holy fuck. Will you go on to the business? Why are you getting distracted so easily?
Because you're slamming the shit out of stuff. First, go to Facebook, like and share our Facebook page. Then go to Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
Then after you get done with that, head on over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast so it downloads automatically for you every Friday morning when it becomes available. And then rate and review the podcast. And then tell all your friends to do the same, please. And with that, I'm going to start the show off proper.
Cody,
Comes Naturally Podcast. This is
Joe,
Mike, and that's Cody.
You didn't point at me.
You didn't point at him. You have to point at him.
I didn't want
to
point.
Okay, fair
Fuck
enough.
That guy.
Then you didn't start the show off properly. Ruin it for everybody. Yeah, it comes. Sorry.
He said so, it.
Mike. So, Mike.
His
Joe and
so
I are really
fucking loud right now.
You're fucking loud.
I don't know if, like,
he's always
my
loud.
Hearing got better. My
I doubt it very highly.
My phones are fucking on point today, or what?
Am God. I too loud in your headset?
No,
is
you're
he louder
fine.
Than normal?
He's no, he's fine to me.
Right, I think you're whatever. Just crazy.
Maybe. Let's fuck with this.
So, Mike, Joe, and I Where's want you to regale us about your new favorite X-Men movie.
Snare. You decided to do your own personal torture theater.
I did. And I don't really know. I
and
know
you
why.
Loved it.
I didn't like it.
It's not what the text message says.
I never saw X-Men Days of Future Past because I was so upset at X-Men's First Class that I didn't want to keep supporting this franchise. So I was like, well, I'm not going to give it any money, like ever. I was thinking I'd probably steal it at some point just to see it. So then I would know why I didn't like it. But it is available on... You're like Bugs Bunny. Where are you pulling all that shit out of it? Like, he just reaches down and he has another drink.
If anything, it'd be more like Felix the Cat because it's coming out of my bag. So fuck you. Continue.
Felix the Cat is an old comic turned into a cartoon where a cat had a magical bag where he thinks about something and pulls it out of the bag.
Yep.
I had no idea about the bag part of Felix the Cat.
Because you were probably like two at the time that it came out.
Probably or not much. Born.
Or not born.
Anyway, I didn't want to throw any money at this franchise, and I will never throw money at this franchise until they just straight reboot the fuck out of it in the X-Men. Like, everything. No more story. And they kind of did, but not really. So they need to just cut ties with it and start over. So, finally, flipping around on HBO, the streaming service. Is that Go or Now?
Now.
It was on there, and I was like, oh, it's like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm not watching anything. I'll finally watch it. So, first thing I noticed is they tell you it's so structured in like, the opening dialogue, like, what's going on. Well, the first thing is there's a big action sequence. You have Future...
It was like Terminator style. It's like Terminator
did you
2
see
style.
It?
No, but the trailer kind of gives a lot of away. It's Terminator 2 style where
it did.
It's
the future. That's exactly what it reminded me of because you see like bodies just screwed across the land and people walking over them. And it does feel like when Terminator 2 or even the first Terminator has the flashbacks and you see like the tanks rolling on skulls and stuff, it kind of has that kind of feel to it. And then to bring the other Terminator reference up is the Sentinels look like T-1000s almost. Like they're morphing through stuff and like flipping the, like they look awful. Like nothing like a Sentinel has ever looked like. Like granted, you can't do what the Sentinels look like in the cartoons because that's pretty corny because they're just big purple, you know, robots. But I didn't like this design form either. I was like, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of the, in Thor, what was that? The robot fire face thing.
Destroyer.
Destroyer.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of that, but not as cool looking. Like, that's kind of the look, it because it had the lines and looked metal throughout. And you see future X-Men, and it's a pretty solid, like, action scene, what's going on, you know? So you see future X-Men fighting, and then you see Juno and... what's his fuck? Who's the...
Juno. Sorry.
You see,
she's got the power of underage pregnancy.
Yeah. So
awful power.
Immune abilities to get pregnant and to talk too damn fast for a normal human being.
Yeah. Oh, and play the guitar.
So and they're like running and they get away and she can send like somebody's consciousness back in time so they can warn the group about when they're gonna attack so they can be gone by the time they attack. And I'm like, all right, so that's how they made it.
Gave her extra powers.
And then you see Wolverine and Magneto and Professor X show up, and they're like, you need to send us back in time because this is the exact string of events that happened to cause this to happen. We're going to go all the way back. And, like, dude, they explain it in so much nauseating detail that you're like, okay, like, this is, like... It's one thing in a movie for you to like tell them like this is what we have to do to prevent this, which is really all they had to say, but it was just so detailed in what the exact plot of the movie is going to be, and you're like, it's just kind of, I don't know, there's something about that scene where I was like, ugh, why did you have to like pander so much to an audience that won't be able to figure it out on their own, because they will be, you know,
it should be, I mean, you should be
a normal fucking,
you should be trusting that functional your audience human being should be able to figure it out.
Yeah, instead. Could figure it out. But they send details and they're like, well, we can't send Professor X because I can only send people back like a month or something like that at a time before their mind, they actually said before their mind snaps. And so the next logical choice, of course, is Wolverine because he has a healing factor. So if it snaps, he just fixes, I guess. So they send him back in time. He wakes up in the 70s. What?
Wolverine can suddenly heal from mental disorders?
His brain will fix itself.
Yeah.
Is what their plot idea is.
So...
And just imagine, like, super depressed,
it's not,
Wolverine.
It's not the mental part that they're talking about, the actual synapses of your brain.
Oh, his brain will break, like, literally, down. Like, breaks down.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the whole
stretching your consciousness, your brain's working harder, and like,
gotcha. Because I'm dead. Thinking of like you know, depressed Wolverine. Well,
My claws are too sharp.
Well, but like depressed Wolverine is a Wolverine we've seen though. So obviously it doesn't.
It'd be weird.
But no, like factor. Obviously it doesn't fix depression because he was all mopey and fucking sad as shit in Wolverine.
True. Anyway,
yeah, the Wolverine one where he's like a caveman for a while.
Oh, that's because so
he's all mopey and depressed as fuck. That one had some really good action scenes, though.
Yeah. Like,
really, really good action scenes. So that was the saving grace for that one. But anyway, the whole plot to the story is they got to go back in time, stop Mystique from killing Peter Dinklage, and then the Sentinels will never get created. But, of course, Magneto's a prick, and he ruins everything right away. And so they have to, like, think on the fly of how they're going to fix it. They end up fixing it. They alternate timelines. So now you kind of have like this, you know, Back to the Future kind of vibe where he wakes up and everything's better, but you don't know what has happened now from, what's it, 1973?
Yeah.
To what present day is. So now the X-Men franchise has all this new, you know, they're free to do whatever the fuck they want now because all these X-Men are alive. Like, he wakes up, Jean's there, Cyclops is there, Storm's there. You've seen all these people die at this point, so now they're all back. And he tells Professor X, like he tells him, like, I need a history lesson, I think is his words. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, I don't remember much after 1973. And Professor X goes, holy shit, welcome back. And he's all like, you have a lot to learn and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, that, like, Professor X should know, like, right away, right? Like, shouldn't he?
No, because he doesn't always probe their minds.
Yeah, but, because he was acting all dumb for, like, a little while prior to that. Anyway, so now, there's so many flaws with the movie. The one redeeming quality to the movie is that, like I said, it has essentially erased all the bad from the X-Men.
X-Men movies. 3 mostly.
X-Men 3, Wolverine Origins, Wolverine Days of Future Past, and even this movie initially basically erased this own movie. So now everyone's alive, but so what I'm curious now is, this is what sucks about the movie, because I'm actually curious of what they're going to do now, but they still haven't made a good movie in so long that I'm probably not going to watch the next ones until, you know, it's on HBO and I'm not doing anything for a while.
Yeah.
So basically now nothing, everything you know from X-Men, none of it has happened. So you don't know, like, we don't even know if Wolverine has adamantium right now. Like, you don't know.
I would hope so.
Well, the reason why is because what he's skipping over is the end of
the
movie. Stryker, young Stryker, finds Wolverine after the big fight because he gets thrown with shrapnel stuck, like the big thing of rebarb and cement stuck to him underwater. They fish him out. And then you're like, oh, that's how he's going to be put in the Weapon X program. And then the eyes flash, and it's Mystique as Stryker. So Stryker's dead, and she now has Wolverine, but he's the Wolverine that does not have adamantium yet. So technically, he may never get it because he's never he at that point he will never go into the Weapon X program,
which means shitty bone claws forever.
Yay!
Because you know it's good about claws, right? They cut through stuff. Well, his aren't because they're just pokey sticks.
Like
now.
Even in this movie, when he's fighting a Sentinel, like he fucking stabs his dumb, stupid bone claws into a robot, and it just like pushes it away. It's like, no, that's wood. Like,
no,
don't
stop
be
it.
Dumb.
Stone.
Stop like,
it. Stop. Go heal somewhere else.
Dumb. Yeah, which is another thing. Like, that was one of the first things that I'm like, I even told Cody this, all the continuity errors in this franchise, the one thing I wish they would have dropped is the bone claws, because that's not a thing. When they gave him adamantium, they gave him claws as a fuck everything up weapon.
Yeah, because they're made out of adamantium.
So Wolverine's healing factor had always been his mutation. Like, that's why he was a mutant. Now his healing factor and these retractable sharp bones in his hand are his other mutation. Makes no fucking sense. And they look awful and they're shitty, and they work if you're like in one-on-one combat against another like person. You can just stab them, like, but they're not cool at all.
Anywhere else.
Really fucking lame.
You can't really cut through stuff with bone claws.
No.
Just like stops. Can he break them?
Yeah,
sure.
They break a lot.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. And they regrow.
Yeah, I'd imagine, obviously, that they grow real fast, but that'd be awful.
They break the shit out of them.
They're like shitty fingernails.
Oh,
they don't even look strong or sturdy or anything. Anyway.
Well, I've seen them.
That's not the point. Point is, shit ton of continuity errors. They could have gotten rid of one of the worst things in the movies that they've done, which is give them bone claws.
From a very young age.
Yeah, as a boy, in the Wolverine origin, they show him. I'm like, anyway. The movie sucked, though, dude. Like, there's a lot of, like, none of it made a
bad pseudoscience.
Yeah, bad pseudoscience, or the fact that Professor X, who at the end of Days of Future Past couldn't walk. Okay, so you go into at the end of First Class, he couldn't walk. So you go into Days of Future Past, and he's walking around. You're like, oh, this is weird. What's going on? So the way they explain it, because they don't want to have a young Professor X in a wheelchair, I guess.
It was just the dumbest thing ever.
The serum that
Beast
had been using to control his mutation, so he can like go back and forth between it, he started giving it to Charles, and for some reason it stopped his mutation, so he stopped using his mind for shit, but it made his legs better.
That makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
Why is that a thing?
I don't know.
But if he stops taking it, his psychic ability comes back, but his legs stop working again.
But that makes no sense.
Sure does.
God,
makes the
awful.
Same exact sense.
No, that's
where how they can
awful. It doesn't make sense at
they
all.
They can
awful.
Take DNA from Mystique and somehow extrapolate the ability to then counteract mutants' abilities in these in the future Sentinels.
Yeah, over like the other plot, like the actual underlining plot lines of why these things are happening is garbage. There's just a lot of wrong things. Like there's some cool action in it, but like Wolverine gets taken out like a bitch at the end. Like doesn't really do anything. Beast was much better in this one, as opposed to his whiny big rubber fucking dumb suit that he wore in the last one and couldn't even fucking move his mouth in. So Beast looked a lot better, and he was actually kind of cool at fighting a little bit in this one.
I still like
Kelsey again. Kramer Fassbender's better. Fantastic though.
Yeah.
God damn it, of that guy's good, is. Dude. Like he is for all the wrong that this franchise has gone on, is one of the best casting choices to have him as young Magneto. Which is one of the very few redeeming qualities of his last couple movies. But he's great. He's wonderful in it. And the young Charles is good too, but
he was good in First Class, but not so much.
But this one, for some reason, I mean, they explain it. They say because of all the bad things that happen, he becomes basically a drug addict because he's taking that shit to give him his legs and take away his mutant power.
And he drinks a lot.
And so he's just a big fuck. Like, he's just a fuckhead in this for a good chunk of the movie. And Wolverine has to, like, talk him out. And I'm like, I guess there's some cool symbolism there because, you know, Professor X saved Wolverine, and Wolverine, there could have been something to that, but you're like, it's Professor X, dude. Like,
he's supposed to be like that.
He never would be like that. Never. Yeah. Like, you don't go from how he was in First Class to how he is in this. Like, he's too fucking smart already at that point. Like, if they wanted to do this and he was way younger, like as a kid and not understanding this shit, that's the only time I would have accepted him being a shitty asshole about it, you know?
Yeah.
But now he's just a shitty asshole just to be a shitty asshole, and he's a worthless fuck, and he's a druggie and is an alcoholic. It's like, Professor fucking X, dude. Like, not in terms of abilities, but in terms of moral, like, where your moral points are, is like they're Superman. Like, you know, Superman's always gonna be Superman. Like, what he fights for is always gonna be trying to be the right thing. He might do something wrong here and there, but he's always trying to do the right thing. Like, that's kind of how I've always seen Professor X go. But to see him just be a shit, I was like, ugh, I don't like this guy at all. So, like I said, the one redeeming quality outside of Fassbender being great was, some cool fight scenes, but even that's not that cool. And then everyone talks about Quicksilver being great. No, he's not. Like, I guess the kid did a good job, the dude who was the actor, but his scenes were fucking cartoony and dumb. And
he was a gag.
Yeah, he was just a big joke in it. He saved them once when he goes in to bust Magneto out of jail, basically. And there's a part where it looks like they're all about to get shot a lot. And so he moves really fast. And so basically all it is everyone else moving really slow, and he's walking around changing stuff and like doing gags the whole time. It's like,
instead of actively like fighting, like you see Quicksilver, because it's the same character.
Yeah, he's walking around and he's making people punch themselves, and he's moving bullets around, and he's dumping stuff on. It's like, why are you doing this? Like,
you have the ability to actually affect the outcome of this.
Yeah, and he saves everyone, but he does it in a goofy, jokey way, which I guess is how they wanted that character to be played. But it's like, there's just have him fucking be cool and stop the stuff. Like, it still would have been a cool looking scene had he played it straight, and the fact that he was so jokey kind of took me out of it. But like I said, the one good thing about it is everything's washed away, so I wish they would just end it there. Happy note, Logan, everyone's alive, the school's thriving, everything's fucking A-okay. Don't fuck with it. Like, retire it. Like,
leave it alone.
Please retire it. Give us, you don't even have to give us 10 years. Like, a lot of, like, give us 5 years of no X-Men bullshit and then redo the whole thing. Like, that's what I want. but they're already making the next one.
Because it's another Wolverine movie, isn't it?
No, it's no,
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. That's so right. It's, never mind. Yeah, I forgot about it's that. It's 80s X-Men.
Yeah.
So it's like young Cyclops, young Storm, young. So it's basically like
Jubilee's in it.
Jubilee's in it. Which is another thing that bugs me, because she was young when the X-Men were established. So now she's the same age as everyone else.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Not a big deal, but what still. The fuck? Like, why? You're already doing that. Like, you're already doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like, make one more good movie. Make one more good movie before you go back to doing dumb shit. But they won't do it. They won't fucking listen to everybody. And people, what pisses me off is people eat these fucking movies up. People love these X-Men movies. Like, there was so much positive talk about First Class when it came out. Like, do you remember, like...
I remember a lot of people saying that they loved it, and after we watched it, it was
We were all working at Best Buy at the time. Yeah. I remember when it came out on DVD, it like, fucking sold out. Like, came close to selling out. And we had a shit ton of them. And we were like, why?
Yeah.
Like, when we got done, I remember the first thing I did when the movie got done, we were in the theaters, I looked at you guys, I was like, I didn't like it. Like, really confused, because I wanted to love it. And you're like, yeah, neither did I. And nobody fucking liked it. But everybody else, it's like we saw a weird fucking movie that nobody else saw. Like, everyone else got the proper cut and we got the shitty rough draft or something. Yeah. But it's, I wish X-Men is too good of a property to keep making shitty movies of, dude. Like,
well, that's why they just need to give it back to Marvel. I mean, It unfortunately, it misses the current Marvel cinematic universes.
If Marvel got it, I would shut down all Marvel stuff right now and start over. If Marvel got X-Men right now, I'd be like, fuck it. We're stopping now. Whatever's like currently being made, we'll make a little edit to the Infinity Gauntlet stuff, make that be our finale, and then we'll just start everything over with mutants. And it would be awesome. Recast, because you can't have and I like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I think he does a great job portraying what that character should be about, but he's like phenomenal shape first off, so I don't want to make it sound
he
like
he gets in better shape every single movie that he does.
Yeah, he was ridiculously yoked in this one too,
because I saw, like, I never even thought about it until somebody posted a picture of the first time he played Wolverine,
who's just a fit person. Guy
and then the last time he did. And he's just fucking huge and ripped and yoked. And I was just like, damn, dude.
Yeah, but he's like, it's super obvious. He's so much older now.
Oh, because
it's been, what was the first X-Men?
2003? Yeah.
So it's been 14 years?
Yeah.
No, 13 years, something like that, since they made it.
Yeah, since the original production of it.
So about 13 years. He's clearly 13 years older now. Like, and that's not a problem, but like, this franchise shouldn't have been going on this long. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it should have stopped at it. Honestly, if they wanted to do it, they could stop it now and it'd be fine. But they're keeping it going. So
it's unfortunate.
So are they going to have Wolverine come back and play 80s Wolverine in this one?
But it's 2000. Was the first one.
Was it 2000?
Oh, so it's Jesus. Been over. So even, yeah.
So
yeah.
15 years.
So 15 years.
It's awful.
X2 was 2003. That's what I was thinking.
Did you hear that? Was there a rumor that they were going to do an Old Man Logan? And that he wanted to do it?
The rumors right now are the storyline basis for the third and final Wolverine movie will be Old Man Logan.
Which, if you guys listen to this podcast, you would think...
We've never mentioned before.
You would think I would be fucking ecstatic about this, but I am infuriated about this, because there's nothing that you could do from Old Man Logan in the movies.
No, because all of the rest of that universe, Marvel owns.
It's all, yeah, it's all you fucking Avengers.
None of his allies, none of the villains they can use, because the only thing they have is the current roster of X-Men that they have, and anybody who has not been in a movie in the X-Men realm yet, because they're not allowed to touch anybody who's outside. The deal with it is they can only use X-Men-centric characters in any of their movies. That's why they were able to have Quicksilver and mention Wanda, because they were X-Men at one point, but they can never touch Hawkeye, they can't touch Captain America, they can't have any of that.
So literally the only thing they could do is have him, spoilers, have him kill the X-Men.
Yeah. That's,
which would be brutal.
It could be a lead up to that.
A hell of a reveal if that's what they do. That would be, still be cool. But where is all that in between? Is all fucking Marvel characters. It's mm-hmm. all Marvel movie characters. So you can't fucking do anything. You can't have him living in
Hulk territory.
Nope. You can't have him battling fucking Red Skull.
Nope.
You can't, you know,
have him partner up with Hawkeye.
Can't fucking save Spider-Girl. Can't fucking do anything. You can't have him take fucking Iron Man's armor and do cool shit with that.
Right.
Like, all the stuff that made Old Man Logan badass, you can't do except for have him kill the X-Men. So, if they want to have him kill the X-Men and do this into a distant future where he's in hiding, like, I understand there's ways you could do things, small things, that'd be reminiscent of Old Man Logan and would be, like, as best of a nod as they could do, given, like, legally what they're allowed to portray in movies. But there's... It's not enough to even mention Old Man Logan. Like, don't say Old Man Logan and give us none of Old Man Logan. You can't do it. So all you want to really do is have an old Wolverine and have him go through some type of battle where he doesn't pull his claws and he finally does, and it's a cool moment. Yeah. Like so there's, I mean,
but even
it
that
could
point...
be cool. But you can't call it Old Man Logan, you know what I mean?
Other than the fact his name's Logan, he's old.
Yeah.
And he's a man.
But you can't, so you can't call it, but it would have nothing to do
with the actual comic,
the actual
based off
comic
of.
that Old Man Logan is. So there's...
basically like making a Charlie and Chocolate Factory too. Movie without Charlie or the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Or Willy Wonka.
Oh, that'd be an awful movie.
But there's Oompa Loompa in it.
Yes.
Like that's what it would do. Just one.
Copy and pasted.
So, do you think there's any... Obviously, is there any chance that movie could be good? Even if we... Like, we already know it can't be Old Man Logan. Can they take little bits and pieces of what they can from Old Man Logan and make a good movie?
No. It'd be a lot of riding around.
The only thing...
Because that's the only stuff that would be available. The only reason why Old Man Logan even started is because Hawkeye... Hawkeye approaches him to...
Hawkeye comes find him to help him...
For a mission. Yep. And that's the whole reason why Old Man Logan starts.
I guess X-Men has enough characters where you could... I mean, they could say something where, like, the whole country is ruled by fucking...
Magneto
or something, or...
Brotherhood of Mutants took over.
Yeah, and...
Killed all the heroes. Well, so the whole thing is...
Would they be able to even use Mysterio? Which...
No.
Which is one of the reasons why... He wigged out. He was tricked into killing all the X-Men by Mysterio.
So the only thing they can do the same thing that Marvel did with Age of Ultron, is just use the name. It's going to be set, I'm guessing, later when he's older, but that's about where the similarities stop, because I don't think they're going to have him murder all the X-Men. I mean, other than the fact that they're going to have to, again, at the end of the movie, retro it all so they're all back, because, I mean, that's essentially killing off all the... The reason they're going to Age of Apocalypse and making a young cast is so they can continue with that young cast to make more X-Men movies. Because...
But I think with this, they could still kill everybody off, because like Mike said, this happens in a distant future. This is almost like a different timeline type of thing. Well, not so... It's still the same timeline. It just happens in the future.
But what I'm saying is they wouldn't do that. They would make it a little further into the future than what we have right now. And that's where they would go. They wouldn't go to the distant future where, like, everybody who is alive is old, like Hawkeye being old and blind and blah, blah, blah. They wouldn't have that.
Right. You're saying that absolutely this is what they would most likely do because they're a shitty company that makes shitty movies. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, it's just so funny.
That's the picture I saw. And you're like, he looks pretty worked out
Hugh
in
Jackman,
the first one.
And then there's huge Jackman.
Yeah.
Sorry, I pulled up the picture Joe mentioned earlier about a still from X-Men 1. And Hugh Jackman's in physically fit condition, but he's not ripped. And then it shows him from this newest one.
The Wolverine.
And he looks like he's trying to escape his skin.
Is it the Wolverine?
No, this is the newest one. This is 70s Wolverine.
Oh, is it the 70s one?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because
he's biggest in this one by far. Like he's a goddamn bodybuilder now.
But so to bring up your point of like what's you were saying, hopefully they end it with this one and start over. So they're not, because we know their plans already.
Yeah.
So you have Age of Apocalypse, which will come out next year, but they are keeping the branding going by doing spin-off movies. So Deadpool is technically tied into this realm.
Really?
Yep. The Gambit standalone movie with Channing Tatum.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Then they have the untitled Wolverine third movie, which right now is supposed to be based on Old Man Logan.
He's stated this is the last one he wants to do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So. Then you have X-Force, and then you have the New Mutants movie that they're planning. Hmm. So that's their way of, I mean, and they can easily throw in another X-Men movie with the cast from Apocalypse to further that, like as its own trilogy or whatever. It's expanding franchise or whatever. Because right now, Fox and Paramount are scrambling for something, a game plan to do, because for the most part, not that it failed, but Transformers 4 didn't really do as well as they hoped. It did blockbuster numbers because it's Transformers. But nobody liked it. So they're trying to retrofit everything, and they have an all-new writing team, many, many people deep at this point. They're planning spin-off movies. They're planning all sorts of crazy stuff to help that franchise kind of relaunch itself. They even talks of Beast Wars being a thing, which is fucking insane. Like,
that's, I don't know if that's awful or if that's good.
I mean, at this point, what Transformers needs to do is they need to skip the human component altogether. Which they need to go, hey, we don't have human components in this because it's trans-fucking-formers.
But they just don't know how to write it in there. It's robots in disguise.
Well, that and they're always awful, like, no matter what. Even, I was optimistic about, redoing it with an all-new cast for 4.
Even with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, even with Mark Wahlberg.
That dude, the human element in that one is some of the worst movie-making you'll ever see. Yeah. And I'm not exaggerating. It's not
good.
It's not even at the level of a sci-fi original movie. The acting is so, Mark Wahlberg took such a huge step back in the quality of performances he's been given.
Yeah.
And I think it's fully on how he's directed. There's so much goddamn product placement in there that
it's a commercial.
It hurts. Like there's so, like it takes you out of every scene with the human. It hurts. Great act. Stanley
Tucci.
Yeah, he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
Fucking awful in this movie.
The best person, actually two best people in this, TJ Miller, who I'm just going to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it right now, dies in the movie.
Pretty quick, too.
Pretty goddamn quick. He was like, I was like so excited to see him in it because, like, oh, he's going to be great comedic actor in it and fantastic. Dead on screen, by the way. But not gory. He just turns into a fucking artifact, turns into metal, which is the fucking dumbest thing ever, but we'll skip over that. Then you have the other only good actor in it, which I thought he did a great job, even to the very end, was Kelsey Grammer, because he played a villain, which I was like, oh shit, Kelsey Grammer's a villain, fuck yeah. And he was like, you hated him, like you're like, oh, I fucking hate you, Frasier, you're a horrible human being, Frasier. And then he gets fucking shot right in the face, which was fantastic. So that was good times.
But like I said, the amount product placement has been a thing that's been in movies ever since. I think Superman is the first thing, the oldest thing I can pinpoint with like blatant product placement. Go back and watch it. It's there.
I'm sure it is. I just can't think of anything.
This one was so goddamn blatant that it takes you out of the movie completely. Like,
so remember, and I'm going to give this as an example to our listeners. So remember how blatant Wayne's World made it as a joke?
Yeah.
That's, in seriousness, that's how Transformers 4 was.
He is.
Let me buy provisions with my MasterCard.
Seriously.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Was it like a Budweiser truck crashes? Yeah. And he takes one off the road, opens it up, and you have a upward looking shot at him with the sun behind him, perfectly labeled, perfectly out, and he chugs a Budweiser.
Yep.
And they fucking still on it. It has nothing to do with anything.
And when he goes to pick up the bottle, the wrecked truck with the perfectly seen like sign of Budweiser is seen there, and he's like, snap, guzzle, guzzle. It's like, ah, refreshing. And I was like, oh, God. Like, so much. Like, I remember the first Transformers movie when they did the Xbox and the Mountain Dew thing.
Yeah.
It was funny. But it was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're products. They're in here. People, they're recognizable logos.
I don't have a problem. It
wasn't even that long of a scene. It really was pretty quick.
And it was funny, like he was saying. Like, they turned into weird little things. And it was,
Xboxes attacked people. The Mountain Dew thing turned into, like, the Mountain Dew but machine started shooting people with
there's,
cans.
There's cars that they, and to be honest, like, Jurassic World's guilty of it, too, because they, you know, when the Mercedes roll up and the emblem's fucking gigantic, shining right good, and it's perfect frame up for like a commercial shot, but
it's not as bad.
Because
the one thing though saves that though is they do have to have vehicles. But the thing about that is they have all their vehicles except for Chris Pratt's personal motorcycle. All of them are Mercedes.
That's Triumph, by the way.
Yeah, so, but it's like it's not like only her car is a Mercedes. Her car's a Mercedes. The off-road vehicle they took, all the work trucks, all of them.
It's like they bought them all from Mercedes.
It's like they got.
So granted, like there's one scene in particular when they get back right before the Raptor's about to go, and the truck pulls up. That it kind of bugged me, like how long they framed on the shot. But I was, and then the next scene was so cool that you forget about it. The problem with the fucking Transformers movie is you go from one, and there's that one part where like this metal is morphing into like different products that are sponsors. Like I can't remember exactly what it is
a bunch.
But it just morphs into different things.
Like a My Little Pony,
like a Pepsi at one point. Like it's just, it's bad, dude.
It's too on the ball for
it's
product placement.
It's way too. And like I said, the acting itself, the dialogue is not of a porn quality. Like people who've written dialogues for pornos have been like, that's pretty cheesy, you know, like don't do that,
that's awful.
Yeah, we, no joke, Cody has written some cool shit. Cody saying Cody could write better than it is a very, very real thing. Write better than the dialogue that was in Transformers 4.
Kind of seems mean, but
no, you could, but you're a good writer, right? I'm saying I could have written better dialogue.
Really?
And I'm not a fucking writer.
This is going to be a backhanded compliment. I was like,
I was like, this guy's about to get mic shut off. Like, oh, there's a malfunction on the board, Mike.
No, but if it isn't working, if I sit here and say we could write better, like, absolutely we could. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Cody being the main reason because he's a good writer. I am not a writer at all.
No.
I could write better dialogue.
Yeah.
And I'm not even joking. Like, there's no, because I at least know what normal conversations sound like. And I would try to make conversations sound normal, not one fucking ad pitch after another, followed by a dumb joke, followed by Mark Wahlberg trying to act tough. You know what I mean? Like, that's literally the formula of every human scene in it. It's really bad.
It sounds like it.
It's so fucking bad.
I don't want to.
I haven't
see it.
Seen it since. Since then,
I didn't even buy it.
Yeah, I've not even like it's.
I saw it in theaters and I was like, well, "That's enough for me." You have you need to really, really win back my trust in this.
Although the new one, I mean, they got some really decent writers behind it.
It all depends on they do have a lot of good talent going behind it, and I think that's good. I think that's better than what Fox has done, because they keep scrambling for people who don't need to be making them. Like, with the new Fantastic Four movie, Josh Trank is, like, the only one they've done well with, because, like, he made Chronicle, mm-hmm. and it's a very comic book-ish movie.
Yep.
And, like, that's, like, essentially Chronicle is kind of a Fantastic Four movie in a way.
Right.
Because these kids get bestowed with special abilities, and they're struggling to be...
They're
to
struggling
use them.
With them.
Yeah. And they're also struggling to be themselves, because they are, like, the one kid, I can't think of his name right now, the villain that's in it.
Yeah.
He is very, he struggles to be like everybody else, because he is different. but he struggles with the power because he kind of becomes consumed with it.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of like a thing. So, Josh Trank, yeah, like, Fantastic Four, it sounds like a good jump for him. But, like, they, like, throw someone like Mark Webb, for example. I feel bad for the guy. He made an amazing movie in 500 Days of Summer. It's a romantic comedy. It's fantastic. Give him Spider-Man. What? Like, why?
What sense made that?
Yeah, jump? Like,
you go from a romantic comedy, because I get it. There are parts of Spider-Man that are comedic.
Yeah.
But that's mostly going to be in the writing. It's not so much going to be in the directing.
Filmmaking, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was really happy with the first one. I really liked Amazing Spider-Man 1.
It wasn't a really good movie.
Then Sony fucking sunk their dirty ass hands back in and said, hey, do all this stuff. And like you just see like all of the magic he made from that first one completely fucking gone in the second one. Just void of anything that you actually cared about. Because even the character of Peter Parker in the second one was not that magical kid from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
He just lost all of it. And it was just, I mean, it. Sony, again, strikes fucking...
It really is one of those things where Sony suffers from the disease of trying to put too much into movies. Because they did the same thing with Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi didn't want to do any of that. But the producer, or not producers, but the executives were like, no.
People like Venom. Venom.
We want to do this. We want to do that. And it's
which
like,
would have been fine to do Venom.
Only Venom.
Only do Venom.
But Sam Raimi did not want to do Venom. He didn't believe in the character at all. Which I think if he doesn't believe in it, he's not going to do well with it. I mean, he's just that kind of director. I mean, he's done all the pretty much all the movies that he's done. He has some sort of passing interest or like desire to do. That's why they come out so good, even though a lot of them were more of cult classics than anything.
And here's the one overall big problem with that is part three. The Sam Raimi, that was your chance to do Venom, okay? So he didn't want to do it, so he had other things going on and kind of squeezed it in. Now, they rebooted it. Part one was awesome. If part two was awesome, they could have done Venom in part three. Now they're rebooting it again. I don't think you could do Venom until you get to a third movie. Like, I don't...
You really have to establish...
It should be a finale. Venom should be... That's the last story you tell.
Penultimate story, because it is the opposite of your hero.
Yeah.
And you can't reboot Spider-Man and have a Spider-Man origin and then have him defeat Venom in the first movie. It has to be maybe the second, but I think it has to be the third. So we got at least another two more fucking movies before we even start thinking about Venom.
Right.
And even then with the Marvel stuff, it's all so confusing of where's what's going to fit into what that you might not get that either, you know? So that sucks because I want to see a badass Venom on screen.
I would stretch it out to one more movie and end it with Carnage.
Yeah, Carnage...
But Venom, if you ask the casual comic book fan or cartoon fan, man,
they'll know
who's the ultimate Spider-Man villain. It's gonna be Venom. Carnage is dope as fuck, but the average one is gonna be Venom.
Carnage is also a hard sell for being a.
I realize it's more of an
a
adult
second
thing.
Or a third. Not even that. It's a second or third act because there's so much. You have to have Venom to get to Carnage.
Right.
So I would almost say that's like a second set of movies, like Venom.
Maybe not the exact next one, but
yeah,
that's
like,
what I'm saying is it's a later. Do it next
For sure.
You know?
Speaking of Spider-Man, obviously, as of right now, they have announced the new Spider-Man, the person who's playing him at least, Tom Holland. Look him up; he's a young actor. You've probably never seen anything he's in. So we were talking about this last night, which neither of you were there. So I'm bringing it up now. The funny thing about it, if you think about it, is by the time the planned Marvel movies are done, we know of, he will have 4 Spider-Man appearances in the next 4 years.
No.
Next year, 2016, he has Captain America. For the most part, know he's already in it. That's why he was doing screen tests with certain actors.
No.
He'll have in 2017. He'll have his own movie, his first solo movie. In 2018, he has the first Infinity War movie, and in 2019, he has the Infinity War Part 2. And technically speaking, if they go on the same path, which is 2 years for every movie in his, technically in 19 he could also have a second solo movie, which means 5 appearances of Spider-Man in 4 years. That kid is going to be busy as shit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, granted, he may not be featured too much in the Avengers movies as much as anybody's going to be, because that cast is stupid big.
Well, like, it's like Civil War is a fucking Avengers movie. It's not a Captain America movie.
It's an Avengers 0.5 movie, like 2.5 movie.
Yeah, so it's not really, like, if you love Captain America 2, which everyone should have, this is not what you're going to get out of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to see he is going. And that's why I think they strive so hard to find somebody, because this kid has to, like, they're sinking in. Like, he has to be their Spider-Man.
He might be able to get one other project out in this time frame. Maybe. But probably not.
Yeah.
Because really,
a quick little indie movie. Like,
it's essentially before his first screen appearance in Cap 3 in Civil War. They will already be starting production of his first solo movie. So he's going to go directly from whenever he's going to go film for Cap 3 right into filming for his own movie. And by the time that's wrapped, he may have time to get something in by the time it comes out because of all the special effects that need to be made for making a Spider-Man movie, because no human being can do what he does anywhere close. He may have time to fit in something before he has to be on and prepared to shoot for Infinity War Part 1 and 2. So, like, these, and plus, obviously, build up for his second movie that will happen there, too, amongst other things they may throw him into. Because he may even show up in, who fucking knows, anything else. I mean, he's not going to show up in, like, Guardians 2, because
that'd be weird.
They're nowhere close to
space.
Yeah, he's like, I can't doesn't go anywhere, just doesn't form anything and doesn't stick to stuff.
And please give him an attitude closer to the attitude from Amazing Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
That was
the best Peter Parker / Spider-Man, I think. Like, he had the funny one-liners and the good sense of humor. And, like, if you don't...
He was very earnest, too. Like, he's very a normal kid in it.
Yeah.
And
then somehow they lost that with Part 2. Like,
because there's too much going on. Because it... Really, Part 2 focused so much so far away from actual Spider-Man in that one, because they brought in Harry Osborn. They brought in, well, Rhino was, I mean, the bookender, really, like, just on both ends. But they brought in Electro, so there was so much not focused actually on Spider-Man, like, the character Spider-Man, because they had to, like, sell you on the hate that these two new villains had for him. And I was like, well... No, first off, like, that's not how you need to do this, because the beauty between Sam Raimi's first and second Spider-Man is the development of that single villain to that Spider-Man, and watching the development of Spider-Man going from stages of being Peter Parker to being Spider-Man, and then having to deal with a villain who's also evolving into something. And then in the second one, same thing. He's striving to be a normal person as well as being Spider-Man, and he's still struggling to even be the hero when Doc Ock comes and, you know, has his own struggle with being a villain. And really, technically he's bad, but, like, he's in his own way. Trying to be good. He's trying to help humanity, even though he's really getting ready to destroy it. But they just missed that completely in the second Amazing Spider-Man movie, because they tried to do too much. Because you essentially have three villains, because... They got the fucking weird hair up their ass, like, we're going to make a villains movie. It's like, again, on paper, that sounds good.
Because remember, like, there was like, this is going to lead into Sinister Six. And you're like, okay, make it a fucking Green Goblin
movie.
Mm-hmm. Have him get locked up. And then you could show, there's that cool scene
where you
see the six different doors. And you see, like,
Vulture's wings,
and, like,
you see the Venom.
Yeah. So, like, that scene could have been done exactly how it is. You could have just been putting fucking Green Goblin into one of those things and then figured out there. Like, we didn't need anybody else. Like, that was a good enough villain by itself, but I don't know. It's pretty weak sauce.
Fucked it up.
Yeah, they did.
Bunch of douchebags fucking shit up.
Yep.
I almost, like, based on how good Daredevil was, like, I almost want that to just be the new, like, model for comic book anything. Like, give us fucking 13 episodes. Let the characters develop, you know, let them write everything at once for a TV show. So now when you have that model, which is kind of like the BBC model, is you write everything. It could be, you don't have to chop it down to 90 minutes because it's a TV show. Mm-hmm. But it's not like a normal TV show where you write a pilot, shoot a pilot, you get the green light on 6, so you start writing as you're shooting, so you don't know where you're ending up. So, yeah, say, okay, you got 13 episodes, write it all out, work out all your problems, you can, good character development, you can take your time with stuff, and then just put it all out and let people watch it. Like I love that model so much. It's so good. I kind of wish.
It all comes to the fact that these are all based on comic books. Majority of them are based on multiple issue comic books, which are episodic.
Yeah.
And TV shows are
episodic.
Oh my God. Like, it just makes sense. Like, doing a Avengers TV show is hard because of the special effects. Because you need a man flying in a suit and a dude flying with a hammer. Guy throwing a shield's pretty easy to do on there. Except when he throws a motorcycle into a Jeep.
Yeah.
A little harder to do on TV. But you could do it. Having a giant man transform from a normal human being to a giant hulking green thing.
Like, well, I get with those, it's hard, but hold on.
So that's harder to do. But when you have Daredevil, which is a more
straightforward
action. One. Yeah. But then even when you do like a Spider-Man can be done on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because, I mean, you could do it. It's not that much difficult.
I don't think the budget would have to be that much higher than the Daredevil budget. Well, a little bit higher.
Special effects would be the thing, because you would have, if you do something like the Lizard, obviously he needs, you don't want to put a dude in a green suit.
No rubber suits.
Yeah.
Right.
We learned that from
Fantastic Four. Yeah. We'll go over that. But like, you have that, but you could definitely do it. It just takes the fact that TV shows don't make billions of dollars, so they want to make movies.
Yeah.
So what I think is very smart what Marvel's doing is they're taking a lot of these franchises that could be movies but be better as TV shows and making them TV shows. And the best part about that is because it's on the Netflix, it can be as violent as it wants to be because you don't have to worry about, you know, commercial push for it, because you don't have to try to sell commercials. If you put Daredevil on regular TV, it's going to be a very hard sell to sell Downy fabric softener during the commercial break, because
it would have to be done on something like HBO.
Some dude just stabbed himself in the fucking head with a rusty metal fence post. Oh,
that was, yeah.
And then like jumps to the Downy bear. You know, fucking, here's a little kid's thing,
you'd have to tone down the violence.
Yeah. And because like with Walking Dead, that show's super fucking violent. We all know that. I mean, fucking zombies exploding and people getting their heads chopped off and eyes gouged out. You don't jump to a fucking, you know, a crayon commercial for with kids in it. You jump to a car commercial. You jump to a beer commercial. I see it, you know? But I mean, I guarantee you the ad men for the first season of Walking Dead had their work cut out for them.
Because they didn't know who they were. I mean, obviously it's based off a comic book and most people's perception of that is comic books are for kids.
Yep.
And so that, you know, you have to get away from that that mindset of what you think the core audience is.
And then I really think that helped them sell a more violent and adult themed Daredevil is because of the popularity that Walking Dead scored. Because I mean, that nailed, like, when you have something that violent, that something that mature that actually has character building story and it's not just there to deliver gore, you're like, hey, we could do this, we could spin this for Daredevil and make it happen that way, but still keep the vitality and the core elements of the actual books alive. Then you jump to something like our friend Dan, who wants a Venom TV show. I'm like, Sony will never fucking do it because they can't sell toys. of a guy eating people. It's just not going to fucking happen. But we were talking about, like, last night we were talking, like, someone we've talked about it here too. Blade would be fucking perfect for a Netflix TV show.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot of special effects, makeup, and then people turning into fucking dust, you know? And
they've already done it on Buffy.
Yeah.
That was a TV show.
They did it, and that was a low-budget TV show.
Yeah.
And they did fantastic at it. Sometimes the makeup was a little bit iffy.
But still, you have that basic model there that you can improve upon when you move to Netflix.
Yep. And with Netflix, you're not worried about that, like Mike was saying. You're not worried about that, oh, ratings have dropped in here. You just make all of them. If it's good enough to stand on its own, it stands on its own. If it doesn't, it's not coming back. You made it. It sucks. But with Netflix, too, with the on-demand model, unlike a lot of the other things, is you can just sit it on your fucking server. It doesn't take up much space or money to have it there. You've already spent the money on making it.
Yeah.
People can just watch it over and again.
And eventually, if it's something that doesn't catch on right away, it could find its audience later, you know? Mm-hmm. It could, you know, something might spark it down the road, or the actor who they, let's say you do Blade, you cast some unknown guy, and there's no star power behind it, and nobody likes it, but then he goes on to do something big, and people are like, oh shit, he's really good, let's go check him out. If it's there, if it has an audience, it will find it on Netflix. You know, Netflix will always let whatever work you put up there find its audience. So even if it doesn't, like, blow away reviews right off the bat, if it has anything positive, people are going to seek it out eventually, and it could be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
A movie, obviously, it's too much risk and reward. The budgets are too high, you know what I mean? So you can't take those risks on it. But, yeah, Spider-Man could be a Netflix show. It could be a Netflix show and then lead into a movie finale about Venom. Like,
yeah.
give me two seasons on Netflix and give me a badass movie with Venom.
Or you can do a movie, season of TV show, movie, season of TV show, movie, boom, you're done.
Yeah. And you got how many fucking amazing hours of you know, this one character? Like, because you think about it, how crazy it is to think of all the Marvel movies that are made, and now Daredevil has the most screen time out of all of them, or is right up there.
He has the most amount of hours. He has more hours on screen than all of them, because he has 13 hours.
Yeah.
Of 13 hours
dedicated to Daredevil. Iron Man has
three movies that are 2 hours each. Can't really count his appearance in Hulk.
No,
but,
can't count that.
And then you have the two Avengers movies.
So like 10.
So 10 hours. So Daredevil's still ahead.
So yeah. So already Daredevil has more time to develop as a character. And he's only put his fucking suit on in the last episode. Like, there's so much more to explore with him. Like, obviously, you can't do that with Spider-Man. You can't have him not put his suit on.
He can have a shitty suit for a while.
Until he figures it out.
Maybe not like episode not six.
I'm not saying not 12 episodes in. He's still wearing the fucking,
I'd be pretty pissed if they did a Spider-Man one and they didn't give him a fucking.
No, but I will say this, though. Episode 3, he would try to be, like, he'd be messing with his outfit, and he'd have like the sweater with the sleeves cut off thing, just to piss so many people off.
But even in the comic books, he goes through really shitty fucking incarnations of his outfit when he's just trying to hide his identity. You can explore that a lot.
Yeah.
And then
change the suit every episode.
Come movie time, you don't have to give an origin story because you gave him a 13-hour fucking origin story.
And technically speaking, Daredevil, not only did the last episode you actually see him in the suit, the iconic suit, but he doesn't even have a fucking name until the last episode.
Until the last minute.
Like, literally the last scene of the episode.
Of the show.
Newspapers called him Daredevil, and I was like, oh, they finally said the fucking name!
They've alluded to it, but yeah.
Yeah, but they never say Daredevil.
And earlier in the show, they call him the Devil of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
And so, finally, when, like, I think it's because they start to realize he's not bad, and Fitch was the dickhead the whole time, they call him Daredevil, give him a little bit better nickname.
Yeah.
That's dope, though.
I can't wait to get to that part.
Oh, and dude, Punisher coming up in the next one?
Yeah.
Damn. That'd be so badass. Rosario Dawson needs to be in all the episodes in the next one.
Yeah.
Like, I just rewatched it recently because Jen hadn't seen it.
Technically speaking, she needs to die. Go ahead.
Wow, that's extreme.
That was weird.
It's because she does.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, kind of being a dick.
Kind of being a Cody.
Fuck yourself.
Nah. Rewatching it, Rosario Dawson was so goddamn good in it, and there's definitely room for her to be like every episode of the next one, not five, with like one of them being a real quick fucking throwaway scene, you know? Like, you need more Rosario Dawson. She needs a bigger role.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make Spider-Man a TV show.
Yeah.
I think that's the moral of this
podcast. Moral of this podcast.
Make Spider-Man a Netflix show.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And take humans out of Transformers.
Yeah, for sure. Give me the war on Cybertron, retarded. Man.
There you go.
Give me that. I mean, they won't transform, technically.
They transform.
Yeah.
Why would they have to?
Because they still have to get around.
If they're on Cybertron?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have to transform.
It's a thing that they do.
You're on Earth, right? How do you get around? You get in a vehicle.
They turn into a car. What would they transform into on Cybertron?
A jet?
Space
another
stuff.
Car?
Just
space car?
Made up stuff?
Yeah, they did in the show.
Yeah, they actually did.
Well, yeah, but like, I don't know.
Even when they're on Cybertron, they didn't turn into like a, they didn't turn into a VW bug.
No.
It turned into some kind of weird space-looking car that floated in versus flying. But see, in the show, though, all of them flew.
Yeah.
When they were robots, they could fly. The only reason they turned into earthbound machines is to blend in. But like when they're on Cybertron, they turned into
because
jets.
They're robots because, in disguise.
Yeah. Comes naturally. So, but when they, like, on Cybertron, they still turn into jets because they fly faster as a jet form than they do because of, you know, physics and all. But, like, they didn't need to turn into an F-18 or whatever. You know what I mean? They didn't need to, but he turned in, like, Starscream still turned into a jet just to, looks like a Cybertronian jet versus, you know, a fucking Warthog or whatever you want to turn him into.
Good point.
And at one point, Megatron needs to shrink down to a pistol and someone needs to fire him. Because, A, that's fucking awesome.
That'd be the heaviest pistol.
Well, but he shrinks down, though. So he's smaller. But it's held by another
that was
Transformer.
A thing back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I know, but...
Like, then later on, he can get super messed up and a giant Transformer planet can then rebuild him into a cannon.
No.
Not a mobile cannon, which is the dumbest thing ever.
Who turns into a giant Walkman again?
That was
First off, he turns into a boombox.
He got so mad at me.
Same as Soundwave.
Yeah, no, I'm just messing
with him. He turns into a boombox. A boombox.
Boombox.
Yeah.
Because it was the 80s.
Beats. Breaking style.
Yeah.
Breaking 2.
And Spike.
Electric Boogaloo.
Got a cool suit that let him turn into, like basically, like, went from a space suit where he could fight stuff, and then the suit transformed around him into a little motorcycle. That's your human element.
Yeah.
And then his dad almost dies, and you
little,
think he's dead.
Little kids helping the giant robots fight stuff.
Yeah, like the Iron Giant.
Like the Iron Giant.
Except for not sad at the end.
I am giant?
I am giant? That's funny, because it's Vin Diesel of the group. All right, wrap it up. Let's get out of here.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. Weird comes naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. That's how you do it. You point at people so they know when to say stuff, Mike. And that's it. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully about some Game of Thrones.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's what you want to talk about next week?
Yeah. It's a bone up on your Game of Thrones. Finish book one.
All right. I'm going to bone Game of Thrones.